life of mental torture and nameless domestic servitude. Nanny Ogg never did any housework herself, but she was the cause of housework in other people. She got down from the stool and beamed at them.
You kept the place quite nice, she said. Well done.
Her smile faded.
Under the bed in the spare room, she said. Haven't looked under there yet, have I?
Inquisitors would have thrown Nanny Ogg out of their ranks for being too nasty. She turned as more members of the family filed into the room, and her face contorted into the misty grin with which she always greeted grandchildren. Jason Ogg pushed his youngest son forward. This was Pusey Ogg, aged 4, who was holding something in his hands.
"What you got there, then?" said Nanny. "You can show your nan."
Pusey held it up.
"My word, you have been!"
It happened right there, right then, right in front of her. And then there was Magrat. She'd been away 8 months. Now panic was setting in. Technically, she was engaged to the king, Verence II. Well, not exactly engaged as such. There was, she was almost sure, a general unspoken understanding that engagement was a definite option. Admittedly, she'd kept on telling him that she was a free spirit and definitely didn't want to be tied down in any way, and of course this was the case, more or less, but 8 months. Anything could have happened in 8 months. She should have come straight back from Genua, but the other two had been enjoying themselves. She wiped the dust off her mirror and examined herself critically. Not a lot to work with, really. No matter what she did with her hair, it took about 3 minutes for it to tangle itself up again, like a garden hosepipe left in a shed, which, no matter how carefully coiled, will always uncoil overnight and tie the lawnmower to the bicycles. She'd brought herself a new green dress, but what had looked exciting and attractive on the plaster model looked like a furled umbrella on a magrat. Whereas Verence had been here, reigning, for 8 months. Of course, Lunkra was so small that you couldn't lie down without a passport. But he was a genuine king, and genuine kings tended to attract young women looking for career opportunities in the queening department. She did her best with the dress and dragged a vengeful brush through her hair. Then she went up to the castle. Guard duty at Lancre Castle was the province of anyone who didn't have much of anything else to do at the moment. On duty today was Nanny Ogg's youngest son, Sean, in ill-fitting chainmail. He brought himself to what he probably thought was attention, as Magrat pattered past, and then dropped his pike and hurried after her.
Can you slow down a bit, please, miss?
He overtook her, ran up the steps to the door, picked up a trumpet that was hanging from a nail by a bit of string, and blew an amateurish fanfare. Then he looked panicky again.
Wait right there, miss. Right there. Count to 5 and then knock,
he said, and darted through the door, slamming it behind him. Magrat waited, and then tried the knocker. After a few seconds, Sean opened the door. He was red in the face and had a powdered wig on back to front.
Yes,
he drawled, and tried to look like a butler.
You've still got your helmet on under the wig, said Magrat helpfully.
Sean deflated. His eyes swivelled upwards.
"Everyone at the haymaking?" said Magrat.
Sean raised his wig, removed the helmet, and put the wig back. Then he distractedly put the helmet back on top of the wig.
"Yes, and Mr. Spriggins the butler is in bed with his trouble again,"
said Sean.
"There's only me, miss, and I've got to get the dinner started before I'm off home because Mrs. Scorbick is poorly."
"You don't have to show me in," said Magrat. "I do know the way."
"No, it's got to be done proper," said Sean. "You just keep moving slow and leave it to me."
He ran on ahead and flung open some double doors.
"Miss Magrat Garlick!"
and scurried towards the next set of doors. By the third pair he was out of breath, but he did his best.
"Miss Magrat Garlick, His Majesty the Oh, bugger, now where's he gone?"
The throne room was empty. They eventually found Verence II, King of Lancre, in the stable yard. Some people are born to kingship, some achieve kingship, or at least arch-generalissimo father of his countryship. But Verence had kingship thrust upon him. He hadn't been raised to it, and had only arrived at the throne by way of one of those complicated mix-ups of fraternity and parentage that are all too common in royal families. He had, in fact, been raised to be a fool. a man whose job it was to caper and tell jokes and have custard poured down his trousers. This had naturally given him a grave and solemn approach.